You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, September 23rd, 2024. 43 days till Election Day. Or is it really here already? We'll explain. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through some social media video feeds. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Are you, Greg Bach, are you ready to pumpkin spice the heck out of this season? Are you ready for, it doesn't matter, fall's here. But are you ready? Are you ready to pumpkin spice this season?
I mean, I don't feel like I have the choice, but, you know, hey, let's do it, Pat. I'm a guy who just yes and this stuff right here.
There you go.
And to quote a very popular movie, let the spice flow.
What movie was that?
That's from Dune. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry, everybody. Look at this, a busted out brand new flannel shirt here, just for the occasion.
Folks, you're not watching the live stream. First of all, you're missing out because you got some peak flannel happening right here on Pat's side.
But it's also open
with a shirt underneath.
I layered. It's layered too. Do you know why it's layered?
Because it's pumpkin spice season.
It is. It's 42 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls. It's 33 in Hayward right now.
No!
Yeah. Welcome to the first full day of fall, everybody. 37 in Park Falls, 44 in Wausau, 46 in Green Bay, 46 in La Crosse. Rapids at 42, Oshkosh 49, heating up. Madison 49, Waukesha. You're the warm spot, 52 degrees down there. Still having hot fun in the summertime down there, aren't you?
I'm wearing shorts.
You're in shorts and a t-shirt, aren't you?
I am. I'm a big dude, so I'm always running hot.
Well, we're here north of the wall, Game of Thrones reference, and it's, winter's always coming.
So it's really disappointing where you live, too? Okay.
We've got some Wild Walkers or White Walkers, Wildlings. Show hasn't been on for a while. I've lost my references. But yeah, fall is here. I'm really missing that early sunrise. Sunrise is at 6:54 this morning. But on the other hand, we've got Packer football and we've got postseason baseball that we get to talk about. Were you in any way, shape, or form monitoring that Brewers game late yesterday afternoon?
After the way we got just shellacked in this series, and I had stuff to do yesterday, so I really wasn't paying attention. So when I went to bed, I just like, okay.
We're watching the second half of the Packers game, and I'm looking at my phone and occasionally mentioning to my friends, oh, the Brewers are down 3-0 already. And like moments later, oh no, it's 5-0. Moments later, it's 7-0. So we're sure we're going to get swept, all four games by Arizona.
Yeah.
And it was 8-0 when the Packer game ended. Nice. I switched the TV over, but I wasn't really paying attention. And by that, I mean I was actually channel surfing. And so occasionally my phone would be like, oh, it's 8-2. Now it's 8-2, whatever. Folks, the Brewers came back from 8 runs down and won that game. It was amazing. It was such a great sports day between the Packers and the Brewers. What a happy boy. Here's what else is coming up on the program today before we get to telling you more about the Packers and the Brewers. Kristen Lyerly will be here. We'll be talking a bit about maternal health. We are already behind the rest of the developed world when it comes to preventing women from dying in pregnancy, childbirth, and shortly after. Abortion bans are already starting to make the situation worse, so we'll talk to her about that. We also have New Jersey Senator Cory Booker joining us. We talked to him as he was coming into Wisconsin to campaign on behalf of Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin. Selena Heller will be here to tell us how rural school districts are using a new approach to help themselves and their communities with the worsening shortage of affordable child care options. So let's see. And we'll hear from Senator Tammy Baldwin and Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro. They were in Richland County Saturday to make the case for rural voters to support Baldwin's bid for reelection and Vice President Kamala Harris's bid for the White House. So a lot of ground to cover today. And along the way, if you'd like to join us by phone or by text, 855-75-CIVIC is how you do it. 855-75-CIVIC. And you can call that number or you can text the number. You can also reach us by putting a comment on the Up North News Facebook page or the Up North News YouTube page where this fine little program is streaming. There will be the Go for the Green or Gold contest coming up in our next hour where you will get a chance to use your Civic Media app to text us a keyword. And then you'll be in the running for either $100 cash or gold jewelry, and you'll be in the running for a grand prize to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on December 23rd against New Orleans. So we'll be listening for that coming up in our 7 o'clock hour as well. I would like to tell you that it is not tomorrow will be 6 weeks until Election Day, Greg, but there's actually more to it than that. It's election time right now, he said, holding up his absentee ballot. Baby. Look what came in the mail. That's it. That's democracy right there. Yep. So I figured here live on the radio, we would open up this thing and see what we got going for us.
Sweet
I got a letter opener. Of course I do. It's a good letter opener. And here we go. We got some instructions for voting absentee. Please follow them carefully. We got your envelope that you send this thing back in. And again, read the envelope carefully. You need a witness to sign it. And of course, we got the ballot right here. And unlike in the state of Montana, where overseas electronic balloting options did not include Kamala Harris, because the Republican Secretary of State in Montana might be corrupt. This one does indeed list all the candidates for president and for U.S. Senator and Congress and Assembly, District Attorney, County Clerk, County Treasurer, Register of Deeds. They're all here just waiting for me to fill them out. If you would like your absentee ballot, it is not too late at all. Go learn more at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. Find out about registration, find out about absentee voting, which you can either do by mail or you can do in person at your local clerk's office. So yeah, we're all casting votes already for the next 6 weeks here. And I saw one figure, I wanted to confirm it, but it was, well over half of the votes in 2020, again, because it was a pandemic year, but came in before Election Day. Now, I don't know what the percentage is going to be like this time, but it is a growing trend, and you should take advantage of that. Or are you still going to be a stand-in-line at your local polling place person?
Oh, no. I am awaiting an envelope like yours in the mail, for I went to myvote.wi.gov and requested an absentee ballot as well.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Thank you.
All right. My work here is done.
Shutting the show down, everyone.
I got another hour and 46 to say something here. So let me tell you that in the Up North News Daily newsletter, one of the stories there is about how Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance proposed more than doubling the federal child credit to $5,000, but recently missed the chance to vote for an expanded credit. And it was an effort that was blocked by his fellow Senate Republicans anyway. So I have reason to doubt his sincerity. Also, a story about reform and do-overs as a father becomes a restaurant owner thanks to a nonprofit vocational training program. So that's in today's newsletter. To become a subscriber, you just have to head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click on subscribe up in the top banner, and we would love to have you along as somebody that follows our daily, unabashedly Wisconsin news on our website. All right, let's talk a little bit more about, let's start with that Packer victory first. Backup quarterback Malik Willis is certainly making the most of the opportunity that has come his way by filling in for the injured Jordan Love. He's been with the team now for 4 weeks. It was 4 weeks ago today that we traded with Tennessee for him, and the Packers were in Tennessee yesterday, and Malik Willis ran for a touchdown and threw for one, leading the Packers to a 30-14 rout of the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. In the first quarter, the Packers got 137 yards. Willis accounted for 134 of that, and he finished with 202 yards passing and 73 yards rushing. The kid's got legs. Cornerback Jair Alexander scored a touchdown on his first career pick six late in the first quarter. Xavier McKinney also had an interception. The Packers now have 7 picks through 3 games. They had 7 interceptions in all of 2023. So things are already going a lot better for the green and gold. The Pack also had 8 sacks, their most since getting 8 in Chicago in January of 2005. And they also forced 3 turnovers. Packers will take on the undefeated Minnesota Vikings. That will be next Sunday at Lambeau Field. It'll be at noon, and that's a CBS game this time around. And for the Lambeau crowd, that is a gold package game. I think we talked about this when the schedule first came out, that coincidentally or not, all the division games are in the gold package this time around. The games that used to be played at County Stadium a million years ago, which, again, gold package holders are either being unfairly maligned or held to account that it always feels like there's more visiting fans on those days, that gold fan tickets are selling their tickets. Don't do it, kids.
Don't do it.
Don't let the strangers
Uncle,
in.
Uncle Ronnie, are you listening to me right now? Uncle Ronnie, you do not sell your tickets.
Roger from Stevens Point says it's 41 degrees, and he says now the Packers have 2 quarterbacks better than Caleb Williams. Oh, the Bears. The poor Bears. Yeah.
That didn't work the way I wanted to, but that's fine.
That's all right. And the Brewers, again, they were down 8-0 in the third inning. They chipped away, and by the eighth inning with 2 outs, they had tied the game and then pulled ahead to win 10-9. It's the third time in franchise history they've come back to win after being down 8 runs. The record is from a game in Cincinnati in 2004 when they were down 9-0 and came back to win 10-9. The Brewers are off today. Their last road trip of the regular season begins tomorrow in Pittsburgh. Games at 5:40 tomorrow, 5:40 Wednesday, and then 11:35 a.m. on Thursday. Then they come home to play 3 against the New York Mets, and then it's playoff baseball, baby. We will hear from Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro and Senator Tammy Baldwin next. You're up north.
Don't start clinging to me, girl, 'cause I can't breathe. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. Baby, baby, don't get hooked on me.
I just loved songs of that era. They were just so, what's the word I'm looking for? Misogynistic? Yeah, maybe something like that. There's Mac Davis.
Okay, I was going to be like, you know, reminiscent, nostalgic.
No. Oh, no, no. It's always about, no, girl, we're just doing this for a night, and then please forget my name. You know, Chevy Van and other songs like that. And actually, a lot of women had songs like that, too. It was a different time back then, that whole baby, baby, don't get hooked on me. Mac Davis, the number one song in this day in 1972. Yeah.
Back in my day, women could take a compliment. All right. Mac Davis was the man.
Mac Davis. Boy, I haven't heard him on the radio in a long time. He had some really nice crossover country tunes, Stop and Smell the Roses, One Hell of a Woman, I Believe in Music. But then he also had, you ever hear Mac Davis's It's Hard to Be Humble?
Yes.
Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble when perfect in every way. We gotta play that. We're going to play that one of these times, too. Anyway, much more in today's history lesson coming up 30 minutes from now here on Up North News Radio. All right, over the weekend, Senator Tammy Baldwin had a busy weekend of campaigning. On Friday, she was part of a cheering crowd of like 10,000 people at the Dane County Coliseum. And then the next day, She was campaigning around rural Richland and Lafayette counties with a friend, the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, one of those folks who was on the short list of a possible running mate for Tim Walz. And Greg, I'm starting to worry about this whole Tim Walz thing because Alicia writes in, just wanted to say, Pat, I'm kind of starting to merge you and Tim Walz. I'm thinking it's just the flannel shirt because Lord knows I can't fix car engines. Yeah, it's such a mystery.
You know, I would say that's a great compliment.
Oh, I'm complimented. Don't get, I put up a nice compliment about Tim Walz over the weekend. He put out a new video where he was working on some old truck that he owns.
Yeah.
And he always gives like car advice and things, but I'm the guy that would say, help Tim Walz with technology or writing, and then he'd help me with the car because he knows the mechanical stuff because we're both the same age. We just come from, we took very different paths, you know, and I really admire somebody that is that mechanical. So yeah, he had a nice video out about that. And Josh Shapiro would have made a perfectly fine running mate too, but instead he has been one of the big boosters that's going around out there, this time with Senator Baldwin, going through parts of rural Wisconsin. And again, like Pennsylvania, you could certainly try to win just going to the big cities, you know, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and some of the others. But the real way to win in states like these is to cover the whole state, to be everywhere. It's been one of, you know, Tammy Baldwin's strong suits is that this Madison native has had no problem going anywhere in Wisconsin, being a good listener and being a good worker on behalf of the interests of the folks in those communities. And so she was interviewed, as was Governor Shapiro, by some of our civic media folks and other reporters. And so I want to play you a few excerpts from those interviews. First, here's Senator Tammy Baldwin talking about the energy that you need to bring to this campaign and into rural Wisconsin as you do your campaigning.
First of all, there is a lot of energy and excitement, and I think people really do understand the stakes in this election. It's up to all of us to traverse the state, as I said earlier, not just blue counties, but purple counties, red counties. Meet people where they are, listen, and show the clear contrast between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump and Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde. This is a battleground state. Races, statewide races, are often decided by razor-thin margins. I am running to get around the state, to meet people where they're at, because I know this is going to be a close race. And there's a lot of polls out there that show it within the margin of error. We're going to sprint through the finish line.
And then Governor Shapiro talked a bit here, so we'll play some excerpts from him, again, talking about the stakes of the race, and the stakes are so high, you have to campaign everywhere.
You know, in order to secure and protect freedom across this country, it's probably going to come down to three states. My beloved Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, along with Michigan and Wisconsin, and anything I can do to amplify the importance of the stakes of this election, especially in those three states, I think is really important. In addition to that, we know that as the Senate races go in Wisconsin, in Pennsylvania, with Bob Casey, a great senator who we need to return to the U.S. Senate, that's going to have a lot to do with whether we can pass an agenda that restores a woman's right to choose, that protects our fundamental freedom. So I think it's really important that we all work together. Governor Evers, Governor Whitmer, and myself have talked a lot about our role in this election. We plan to get on a bus together next month and traverse through these three states again. And it's really, really important that folks here in Wisconsin understand the real power that they have in this coming election. I think in 2016, all three states at the presidential level were settled by less than 100,000 votes. That doesn't scare me. It makes me want to work harder. It makes me want to travel more miles. And it makes me want to make sure that folks here in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, Michigan, elsewhere, understand the power that they have to make a difference in people's lives. Whether it's connecting people to the internet, as Senator Baldwin has done, We're making sure women have a right to be able to make decisions over their own bodies. It all comes down to these races from the top of the ticket on down. Senator Baldwin and I show up in communities like this, and we treat voters with respect, no matter what signs might be on a neighbor's lawn or what past election results have shown. One of the things that you should look at is, notwithstanding the big signs over there, Senator Baldwin has routinely won in communities like this. Because listen, I think voters here in Pennsylvania, I can speak of with some authority, they're discerning, they're thoughtful. They want to kick the tires on their elected leaders and would-be elected leaders. Find out if they're genuine, find out if they care about them. And the way that happens is by showing up. That's what Senator Baldwin has done throughout her career. And voters here in Richland County and other communities similar to this, they've rewarded her with the most precious thing they have in our democracy, their vote. And you know what? After they've given her their vote in the past, she keeps showing up. She doesn't forget about them. That says a lot about the kind of leader that she is. That's the way I've tried to run and govern in Pennsylvania. It's clearly what she's done here, what Governor Evers has done. And that's something that I think is critically important in our politics today.
Couldn't agree more. The thing we need in our politics today is more people who are service-driven, who are mission-driven to help others, whether they voted for them or not. And it's what's made Tammy Baldwin successful up to this point. And in our next hour, we'll hear from New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, also in Wisconsin this weekend, campaigning for Tammy Baldwin and for Kamala Harris. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
The bag, but I know y'all wanted that 808. Can you feel that bass bass? But I know y'all wanted that 808. Can you feel that bass bass?
I suppose we have to talk at some point, or we could just let this keep playing on, because it was on this day in 2003 that OutKast put out a little album, Speaker Box and The Love Below.
Oh,
included
God.
The Way You Move and Hey Ya, and I Love When Greg Accuses Me of Sounding My Age.
No, I'm not making fun of you at all. It was, Pat, that was 21 years ago, okay? That's just
Is that what? That was it? It was the time thing?
That's just it's holy cow. If you asked me, I'd be like, I don't know, like 2015, 2014? What? Yeah, like 10 years ago?
Nope. 2003. Although,
Pat has already, like, metabolized that in his mind. He's already like, yeah, 21 years ago. Like,
yep.
Welcome to the club, Greg. It was 21 years ago.
It's no less painful, though. It's no less painful. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
Hey, I'm so good. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to have you here. You have been delivering babies and doing your work. You've been working it this weekend.
Yep, taking care of the ladies, building families, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. I'm so lucky to have this job.
See, now, if more people had your outlook.
God, I just, seriously. You know, back in the 90s, there were, 1-900 numbers where you can call, get a joke or something. Like, there should have been, call Dr. Lyerly for sunshine.
Yeah.
Hey, you are amazing. Hey, yep. Everything you're doing is exactly what you're supposed to be doing right now.
Didn't some kindergartners do that? There was a phone number that you could call and they would,
call a kindergartner?
Yeah.
They would encourage you?
Cheerful. Oh, yeah.
I would be crying immediately.
Man, is it tough not to be? I mean, I know the Packers were in Tennessee, but is it weird not to be in Green Bay for any given Packer Sunday? It's there's such a community there. I'm not trying to make you sad, but
no, I mean, you do what you do. So, my boys and I were texting each other. What a game yesterday! It was so much fun to watch.
It
wasn't
was.
It? I mean, not for the quarterback for the Titans, but
no,
for us.
We were good.
But he's doing great. He's a great person, living his best life.
Feeling very sore today. Lots
yes,
of ibuprofen.
And cashing really big checks. So he'll be okay. Yeah. It was fun to watch. It was actually, it's game three of the season, but it was the first time in my regular Sunday place, sitting with the neighbors, at a local establishment and taking in the game and catching up on life with everybody. It's just, there's just such a camaraderie you know, about the game. And that was nice. But then had to come home and engage in one of those sad chores this time of year. And that was taking anything off the pontoon that needed to come off before it goes into winter storage.
Wait. Next week's going to be good.
I'm not saying it's leaving yet, but I may not be available for that. So, I mean, if you're coming through, I'll leave the key someplace for you. But I think our rides might be done for the summer, just based on what all is on our calendar. So, little melancholy that way, but it was a good summer. It's been a good, especially good late summer. I mean, this 3-4 week stretch of warm temperatures and a lot of sun. It's been really nice. So I'm ready to hop into fall as you know, shown off by the flannel here. We've got the brand new flannel shirt. Fleet Farm. I'll go ahead and give him a shout out for that. But it's also it's all led to Alicia saying, apparently I've got a Midwest dad vibe going here. But then she welcomes you as well, saying, yay, the lady who's going to win her debate on Friday and the election in November. And Tony, of course, immediately jumping to the end of the page and going, Congresswoman Lyerly is here.
First of all, hi to both of you two, Tony and Alicia. Fine, that's cool.
Kristen brings the sunshine. So you do have a debate this week for your congressional race.
I'm so excited about it. It's going to be so much fun for me because I love doing this kind of stuff, but also to be able to show the people of Northeastern Wisconsin what these two candidates are all about and to be able to answer some of the questions that we have been asked. So I'm looking forward to it.
You should, because you get that. You get that opportunity. Unlike in other places and in other districts, I mean, Derek Van Orden still hasn't agreed to debate Becca Cook. And then there's legislative races. I saw Emily Cephos put up something about how there's, you know, going to be a debate with or without her Republican opponent. And I've noticed that in a fair share of districts where if the Republican thinks that they're comfortably ahead, I mean, they just don't even respond to debate invitations. So your constituents will at least get that respect from you.
Yeah, they deserve it. And, you know, you're right. I think especially because of the gerrymandering that we've been living with for so long, the Republicans haven't had to step up and to demonstrate why they are the better candidate. But it's different this year. And Emily Cephos is the prime example of somebody who is doing the work day in, day out, knocking doors. She has repeatedly asked Dave Murphy to just sit down and have a conversation, but he doesn't actually respond to her requests. So it's unfortunate because the people of the Appleton and Western Outagamie area deserve to know. But Emily's going to continue to do what she can do. She's a hard worker and she's going to be an incredible representative.
Kristen Lyerly's with us now on this Monday morning. And I wanted to use your background as well, not just as a candidate, but an OBGYN, to talk about Vice President Kamala Harris making remarks in Atlanta on Friday before she came to Madison. Wanted to speak at length about abortion care, women's reproductive health rights. But the angle I wanted to ask you about today is about, you know, maternal mortality. And the rate that we have here in this country is shamefully high. It's 22 deaths per 100,000. That is more than 50% higher than the next closest country. And Black women in the U.S. have a maternal mortality rate more than double the country's overall rate. And Vice President Harris, made note of that's already a problem, and it's a problem being made worse by these abortion bans.
One in three women in America lives in a state with a Trump abortion ban. This includes Georgia and every state in the South except Virginia. Think about that when you also combine that with what we know has been longstanding neglect around an issue like maternal mortality. Think about that when you compound that with what has been longstanding neglect of women in communities with a lack of the adequate resources they need for health care, prenatal, during their pregnancy, postpartum. Think about that. And these hypocrites want to start talking about this is in the best interest of women and children? Well, where you been? Where you been when it comes to taking care of the women and children of America?
I think that's an extremely fair question, Kristen. Where have you been?
I hear that and I just think yes, mm-hmm. because it's so hypocritical to hear these mostly white male politicians telling us as physicians, and I know we're going to get into this, that we're doing a bad job taking care of our patients and that that's the problem. When in reality, we know that we weren't doing a good job before abortion bans because of so many of the restrictions and so many of the underlying problems with our medical system. But now, in one in three states in this country, women who are pregnant are three times more likely to die related to their pregnancy. We know this. And not just that, but in states like Texas, because of their abortion bans, babies are more likely to die. 12% infant mortality has risen. 12% more babies are dying in Texas because of this lack of access to health care. And they want to turn it around and make it about us. I mean, come on.
No. Again, there is so much, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Neglect, you know, political neglect, maybe.
Political and malpractice?
Political malpractice is indeed probably a better way of putting it. And so, yeah, I was just glad to have the vice president talk like that. And it's something that she continues to get points for, is turning around what had been long simmering frustration that Democratic candidates wanted to avoid talking about abortion rights whenever they could, or they just kind of gloss over it and kind of give it some passing reference. And as you know from your past couple of years here, the conversations have had become much more detailed. Mm-hmm. Because look what happens when you try to ignore the problem. It doesn't go away. They end up passing the Dobbs decision and taking away your rights.
Right. We have to talk about these things, and people are finding their voices and talking about them. Abortion is not a rare thing. One in four women in this country will have abortions for lots of different reasons. And as a doctor who has these confidential conversations with people in the exam room, it breaks my heart every time somebody has to go public with their story. But that's the only way to get this information out there. And it makes me so very angry when we are accused by people for fear-mongering, for simply telling these stories. It's not fear-mongering. You're doing the fear-mongering by pointing the finger back at these people who are just sharing their experiences.
Well, I'll tell you where the fear-mongering is happening. We've noticed this not in ads, anti-trans ads, that are not now from like some fringe groups, but from the candidates themselves. Donald Trump's newest TV ads are anti-trans ads. And now Eric Hovde's new ad is all about Tammy Baldwin will allow this and this and this. And here's the thing. Donald Trump and Eric Hovde, at no point in time on their top 100 list of reasons for running, has anything to do with the trans community. It's fear-mongering for the sake of convenience and political power so they can go back and, you know, cut taxes for billionaires. But mm-hmm. it just tells you where they've gone, that there's a level of desperation getting involved here when you have to make these wild claims about the trans community to try to scrape up a few votes here and there.
The border.
The border.
Boys and girls' bathrooms.
It's the brown people, the black people, and the people in dresses. You know, the guys in dresses. Those.
But Pat, the number one thing that I'm hearing from people when I'm talking with people in the community is that they're sick of this. They're not dumb. They recognize that all of these issues are just shiny objects meant to distract them from the things that are really happening, the way the government is really not working for them. And I've had so many wonderful, informed conversations with people who traditionally vote for Republicans and understand how dysfunctional Congress is, how dysfunctional our legislature has been, and how little work they're actually doing on behalf of the people because they're so busy stoking these culture war issues for their own personal power.
I hear you, and I want to believe that. I do believe that people are getting sick of hearing all this. All I'm going to say to that is it also means that some of these campaigns are going to get increasingly desperate. And if this is what they've brought out so far, I mean, they tried to swift boat Tim Walz over his military record, and that didn't stick. They tried things like, you know, Kamala Harris didn't tell you that she worked at McDonald's, you know, so just silly little attacks like that. And they've just kind of ramped them up. And as these things aren't sticking, they're trying new things. And it just reminds me to remind everybody that with 43 days to go, just, you know, prepare for anything. And remember the real issues, the base issues of why you would be voting for somebody. Mm-hmm. And if you keep that in mind, or better yet, if you go vote early, like somebody whose absentee ballot came in the mail this weekend,
yay,
just vote now, and then it doesn't matter what the commercials say.
That sound is the paper shaking of democracy. All right, there we go, folks.
And you know what? Talk to people. Don't just get your information from Facebook or from Fox News, but actually have conversations with people and hear each other. We have been missing that. COVID isolated us, and our little rabbit holes that we live in isolate us. But the more conversations that we can have with our neighbors about the things that we care about, the better we are going to be at working together to solve these problems at all levels, not just when we're talking about the president or our senator, but at the school board level and the county board level. This is about building community, and this is the time to do it.
You see, and that's why Kristen Lierley gets all the happy comments that she, oh, wait, this, Greg is now getting fan mail. Oh, this might be passive aggressive fan mail, but it's from Alicia. Hi, Greg, we can't have Up North News without you. And Tony puts up on YouTube, is that the guy who runs the Laughing Tap? I'm starstruck.
See, it felt good until you read it with the tone, Patrick Jerome. My goodness, let me have something in this world. It's about time a white man in his middle ages wins something, all right?
He's Greg Buck, and he approves this message. Selena Heller joins us for today's history lesson coming up right after this. You're up north. Oh, it is a big birthday day in today's history lesson. Selena Heller from Up North News joins us as well. Miss Heller, how are you?
Very good. Good morning. Good. We had a nice weekend camping, so that was fun.
A weekend of camping. Oh, you? Yeah. Before winter comes. Good for you.
Exactly.
All right. Like I said, big birthdays. Bruce Springsteen, the pride of Long Branch, New Jersey, 75 years old today. And still getting her done. Saw a concert from about a week ago or so, and the man's hardly lost a gear at this point. So happy birthday to Bruce.
I saw him yeah, last year at Wrigley, and he put so much energy into that 3-hour show. The fans started sitting down toward the end because they couldn't keep up.
That was the clip that I saw, a clip from a New Jersey show where he's like, you think you can outlast the E Street Band? And like, we're going. And he kept going more. But that's not it for birthdays. On the day that Bruce Springsteen was born 75 years ago, it was the 19th birthday for a guy we know as Ray Charles, born this day in 1930. Ray Charles Robinson, born in Albany, Georgia, this day in 1930, passed away in 2004. He'd been blinded by glaucoma at the age of 7 and became a transgressive musician, adding gospel elements to new forms of music that became known as soul and rock. Oh, but wait, there's more birthdays. When Ray Charles was born, John Coltrane was 4 years old, having been born this day in 1926. Born in Hamlet, North Carolina, this jazz saxophonist passed away way too soon, 1967, at the age of 40. One of Greg Bach's favorites.
My favorite musician of all time, period. He's the end-all, be-all for me.
Yep. Julio Iglesias is 81 years old today on the birthdays, as is the late Jerry Corbetta. He was the lead vocalist of Sugarloaf.
Green-eyed lady, lovely lady. Sugarloaf, my number 2 favorite ever. I'm just kidding.
I can't see through the monitors here, so I don't know if there's a green-eyed lady on the screen or not. Would that be you, Dr. Larley?
Yeah.
So did you like the song when you were hearing it on the radio, or did it not speak to you?
Yeah, it just my eyes.
All right. That's what I got. George Costanza, Jason Alexander, is 65 years old today. Skylar Astin of Pitch Perfect, So Help Me Todd, and other projects is 37 today. Buddy Holly and the Crickets hit number one this day in 1957 with this hit.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry.
According to Song Facts, the title of the song was inspired by a John Wayne line in the movie The Searchers, which I haven't seen the clip, but I can hear John Wayne going, "That'll be the day." We mentioned that in 2003, Outkast put out their album Speaker Box The Love Below. And one of my, well, maybe it is my favorite album of all time. It's one of my top three. Steely Dan's Asia came out this day in 1977. We'll play a little Deacon Blues later. Black Cow, plenty of other hits. One more musical note. This day in 1967, a group called the Box Tops went to number one with The Letter.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast
train. The Box Tops sounds like a band up there with the Archies, right? Like it just
Box Tops. Yeah.
And then you get this guy who's like, I just gonna get down and be my baby.
There's nothing Archie sounding about this band. And yet, Kristen, Selena, this lead singer, Alex Chilton. Do you know how old he was?
15.
16. Oh my 16, God. And he has the number one song with that voice.
16 in this video? He looks like he's 38.
I know.
Oh, he looks and sounds.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
He went on to have this like long, illustrious career. I mean, he was very influential.
Yeah. Yep. He did good. Later, we will talk about how 10 years after their bitter breakup, the Everly Brothers reunited for a concert this day in 1983. Let's see. And on the calendar today, this is National Family Day, part of National Family Week. This is Education Technology Day. Selena, I think we'll talk about that shortly here. International Sign Language Day. It's National Baker's Day, Checkers Day, Pot Pie Day, Snack Stick Day, and Redhead Appreciation Day. This is National Eye Health Week, National Glucose Awareness Week, and National Migraine Awareness Week as well. Selena, did you get a migraine or anything else for your troubles for trying to camp over the weekend, or did it go smoothly?
Pretty smoothly. We had a storm, you know, and the storm rolling. So, but we got in time.
I was going to say, do you have a pop up like Kristen does, or pop okay? Up,
yep. Had a batten down the hatches.
Uh huh. And Kristen, did you?
Yeah, it looked pretty ominous, you know, coming.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Yeah. So okay, well, glad. Okay, good deal. I realized the power went out here for about 10 seconds during one of those thunderstorms. And I was thankful for there's fewer clocks now that you have to reset than before, because so many things have like a little battery backup now that it's better than it used to be, but no less frustrating. Kristen, how many times did you get the pop-up out this year?
Oh, just two.
Just two. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a busy summer, Pat. This whole running for Congress while I'm working and being a mom business, two graduations, you know.
Kristen Riley can't put her pop-up out. What a Wisconsinite can do.
We just made a lot of reservations. We just ended up canceling all of them because champagne stuff came up.
Such an underachiever.
At least you got out too. That's good.
I'm not complaining. You know, I love camping. This just isn't the summer for it. But we'll end up at Lake Wasota next summer, and we'll punch you.
Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.